In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before I get started, I'd like to make what has actually become an annual report. This was inspired by the reading from Jeremiah, found in the last verse of today's text. I will give the priests their fill of fatness. I wish once again to testify that this scripture has been fulfilled within your hearing. And it applies to more than just me. First thing I do when I write a sermon, it's probably all the wrong way. I put whatever the Sunday is, second Sunday of Christmas. Then I put St. Paul's Episcopal Church or wherever I happen to be. Then I put my name. Then I put the date. And then I start trying to figure out what I'm going to say. But when I type 2020 at the top of the page, I suddenly realized I had no choice except to try to deal with the notion of 2020. I mean, yes, the year 2020, but 2020 seems to mean a lot more than that. I mean, when you see things really clearly, you say, I've got 2020 vision, right? And it's true that 2020 is a very good standard for visual acuity. As I started studying this, and I quit in a hurry, it turns out 2020 is not perfect vision. That is far more complicated, and I'll spend the next 3 hours trying to explain that. But I'll skip it. It is, however, I know true, that 2020 metaphorically represents a high standard regarding clarity or insight or understanding and perception. It's used a lot in our speech. It's common. You even hear words like, or phrases like, hindsight is always 2020. I hate to admit this, but I knew a fellow who was ordained who trashed that metaphor when he very seriously said, after all, hindsight is 50-50. I still have a headache over that. So to get the sports metaphor out of the way, Dixon, I'm just using 2020 to tee up the focus of today's sermon. Today is the second Sunday of Christmas. It is the 12th day of Christmas. Now, for those of you who are serious students of theology, what does the 12th day of Christmas mean? 12 drummers drumming. And yes, I was tempted, but I did not bring a drum. Today is the final day of Christmas, the 12-day season. It is also the eve, then, of the Epiphany, January 6. This is one of the few days where you have choices about the gospel in the Episcopal lectionary. There are actually three choices. I chose purposefully Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It is the story of the Magi. Tonight, we're having our annual Feast of Lights. That is an Epiphany service. It seems to me, pardon this, it's just too easy to do, that we need to wrap up Christmas and start Epiphany. And that's my attempt at 2020 focus for today. You may remember that the season of Christmas starts with the birth narratives that are most popular from Luke's gospel, where we have shepherds and the Holy Family and angels and all sorts of things going on. Birth of the Savior stories. On Christmas 1, that was last Sunday, The gospel is taken from what is known as the prologue to the Gospel of John, the Logos passages. John declares, "The Word is made flesh and dwells among us, and the Word, his life, was the light of all people." Then he goes on to say, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Both Luke, with the birth narratives, and John are talking about the same thing. They're talking about the incarnation, God as a human person, the enfleshment of God. God comes to us as a human being in the person of Jesus. It is an oversimplification, but somewhat accurate to say Luke tells us what happened, John tells us what that means. All of our scriptures today can help give us some finding of a 2020 focus at looking at this. The ancient lesson from Jeremiah the prophet: "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind, the lame." God's promise to bring people back from exile. Jeremiah reminds us that from earliest times, the relationship between God and God's people has been one of finding ways provided by God, ways of possibility for restoration, redemption, and renewal when people have strayed. It's the essence of the relationship with God and God's people throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. In our epistle appointed for the day, the letter to the Ephesians, the writer says, "I pray so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." It's an attempt at a 2020 vision of the joy of knowing God in Jesus. Christmas merges into the Epiphany with today's gospel. You just heard it. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, excuse me, "Where is this king who was born, the King of the Jews?" Just those few words give us a great deal of information. First, it is an example of the particular focus of Matthew to place Jesus solidly within the context of Jewish religion and culture. Matthew is the most Jewish-focused of all the Gospels. He goes to great lengths to show Jesus as the fulfillment of ancient messianic prophecy. And he ties him to the Son. He is called the Son of David, David being Israel's most highly regarded king. In light of this obvious attempt to legitimize Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, a very interesting thing happens early in Matthew's account. The commentary says, "The first humans to speak in this gospel are the Magi, who ask Herod, 'Where is the child born of the King of the Jews?'" The first persons to speak, the first people to call Jesus a king, are outsiders, foreigners, pagans in the view of Jewish religious law and practice. Well, you obviously can't develop a 2020 vision about things in this gospel without looking at a very important aspect. The actual star of the show is a star. That's right, an astrological phenomenon. Again, the commentaries say that the pagans associated the appearance of a star with the birth of a new ruler. The three wise men followed the star in an effort to find and pay homage to this new king. And of course, we know, do we not, that the real star of this show is Jesus. That's right, an infant in a crib. the light from the Epiphany star has come to symbolically represent Jesus as the light of the world, the light that illumines the world, that allows us to see our world more clearly and in a particular way, 2020 style. The Magi find Jesus with his mother, Mary, and Joseph in the town of Bethlehem. It's there, Bethlehem, where David was anointed as king. So Bethlehem signifies the importance of the Messiah to the Jewish people. The presence of the Magi served to extend that promise to outsiders. The Magi symbolize the Gentiles. That's everybody else. Everybody else are to be included in God's promise of a Messiah. And so here we are in the beginning of 2020. Can we get a clear vision of what might be helpful to us as we encounter the epiphany of Christ? What does it say about who we are and what we're about? If you read just a few verses past today's gospel, you'll get some perspective. If you continue reading in Matthew, we'll discover that after the Magi leave, Joseph has a dream that warns him of Herod's search for the child, Jesus. So we find the Holy Family being uprooted and fleeing a tyrant's vengeful action, a young family running from the cruel ambitions of a despot. Suddenly, the gospel is reading like the nightly news from your cable company or the headlines in your paper. Refugees, family huddling at borders, escaping terrorism. How many thousands, probably in this length of history, millions of times in human history has this occurred? Families fleeing persecution because of the political ambitions or military exploits of insecure and unscrupulous leaders, drug cartels, the list goes on and on. In all these situations, the most helpless victims are generally children, those who cannot fight back in any way. This event in the life of Jesus gives me a better, if you will, 2020 understanding for and appreciation of the Incarnation. Jesus not only becomes one of us, a human person with our feelings, he also suffers the fate of many millions of us, children all over the world. He becomes a political refugee, his family fleeing for his very life. Joan Chichester, Benedictine nun, theologian, writes, Christmas is the celebration of small things, particular things, barely notable things. It's Jesus in a manger. It's easy to get caught up in the magnificence of Jesus in the manger, but it does miss, does it not, the simplicity, the normalcy of Jesus, the invisibility of Jesus, who lives almost totally unseen for 30 years. 30 years, and suddenly becomes the voice of God. You know, at age 30, something happens to Jesus. Jesus is suddenly on a path that will change things everywhere forever. He starts living the life of the Messiah. But to everybody's surprise, this king... My stole just fell off. I don't know what that means.
Dude, I've been watching it the whole time going, it's going to fall. It's gonna...
It may mean sit down and shut up. But you aren't going to get that lucky. It just about, you know what, me off here. Damn vestments. All right, how's that? comic relief from the voice of God. Jesus starts living a life that is not expected of a Messiah or a king. It's not a life of luxury or power. It's not a life of riches. Rather, it's a life that seems to be characterized by a healer, a life of one who seems to be present, seems to seek out people to be present with and for, people that are later described as the least of these. That's nice and sweet, but he doesn't stop there. He's a little edgy. He's also critical, vocally critical, of those who oppress others with their religious rules. He's critical of those who take advantage of the weak, the sick, the stranger, the outcast. Indeed, he does become the light of the world that cast out the darkness of greed, avarice, exploitation, racism, corruption, benign neglect, and privilege. This child, who was once a refugee, grows into the voice of God, a voice that will not be still, a light that cannot be dimmed. And we, by virtue of those three wise men, are included. We are the ones who hear that voice. We are the ones, the Gentiles, who've been chosen to follow it, along with everybody else on the planet. Those of us who choose to follow Jesus are called Christians. The way of Jesus, the way of love, but not easy love. Chesterton sort of confronts me when she says something like, "Isn't it time to grow beyond the sort of fairy tale notion of all this and start living in part of the drama?" In other words, in 2020 language, we follow Jesus, who literally spent his life caring for the outcast, the sick, the marginalized, the stranger, and the refugee. Jesus, the light of the world, casting out the darkness from greed, avarice, exploitation, racism, corruption, benign neglect, and privilege. That Jesus is the Jesus we follow. There is no other Jesus. You can't make Jesus anything other than what Jesus is. The light of the world, the voice of God. Hebrews says it best of all, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.